All right, so let's turn together to God's Word, 1 John 1. We'll read from verse 5 to 1 John 2, verse 11, and you will find that on page 1081 under the heading Fellowship with Him and One Another. First Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5, and we read, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation or atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning, the old commandment which is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And then we'll just look at what we confess with Lord's Day 40. So in covenant, we're working through the Ten Commandments. And in Lord's Day 40, question and answer 105, we read, "What is God's will for you in the sixth commandment? I am not to belittle, hate, insult, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gesture, certainly not by actual deeds, and I am not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. I am not to harm or recklessly endanger myself either. Prevention of murder is why the government is armed with the sword. Does this commandment refer only to murder? By forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder: envy, hatred, anger, vengefulness. In God's sight, all such are disguised forms of murder. Is it enough that we do not murder our neighbor in any such way? No. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly toward them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies." And this is our confession, rooted in and based upon the word of the Lord. So, beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we talk about our text this afternoon and the things that we confess about our text in the matter of life and in death, 1 John is very much speaking to us in light of the brotherhood, or in light of the church, and that we are to be light of the world together in church. And part of the way that we are light together in church is that we love the brotherhood. Now, there's no doubt that Jesus talks about loving your enemies, and that we are to love our neighbor as ourself, and certainly we'll touch upon these things, but it starts here. It starts with a desire to be the family of God and to be light into this world. So we have that beautiful metaphor, don't we, of light and of darkness. It is particularly the Christian's metaphor. It is our metaphor, and we're going to talk this afternoon about God is light and how we reflect the light of God. And then reflecting the light of God, how do we act out of that so that people would know that we truly are the light of God and the light of the world. And fundamental to that is this relationship that we have with God, who comes in covenant and says, "Be holy as I am holy. Love me with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be holy as I am holy. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets." And though our topic, so to speak, or that which dictates the passage which we have read is the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder," as the Catechism says, as the Bible points out to us, it's so much more than not doing something. In fact, the smallest part, even though it might be the greatest part socially or in terms of its impact, actually killing somebody, the greater part of that is the positive. How then shall we live? Because on the one hand, we know that we're light, we're saved in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then that's true for us. But we also know that the darkness clings to us, and we need to be honest about who we are, and we need to be honest about one another, to one another, lest we make God a liar. And so the Lord God commands us to love Him by loving our brother. So our first point will be reflecting the light of God, and then second, being light in the world. Now, John is sometimes known as the Apostle of Love, partly because if it is John, which I think it is in the Gospel of John, he never refers to himself by name, but he always refers himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He walked with Christ. He knew that fellowship of love. He starts then his letter, his first letter, in much the same way that he starts his Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." And he starts here too, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in our own eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have even handled." He talks in terms of the plural. He talks in terms of the possessive, which you can see that he means, "I saw Jesus, and I touched Jesus, and I know Jesus, and I walked with Jesus, and I know what love is. And I know what the love of God is like." This is John who wrote, "This is the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. He came into the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. He came to his own, and his own did not love him. His own rejected him. I'm paraphrasing a bit. And so that's a little bit behind here. So he says, out of that wonderful fellowship, the fellowship we have with the Father and his Son, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." So at night, sometimes we see the moon, and sometimes the moon glows and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But then you go to science class and then the teacher tells you the moon actually isn't a source of light. Which bothered me when I first found out about it, but that the moon can only reflect the light of the sun. So when the sun goes down and the moon begins to appear, it's just reflecting the light of the sun, and that's why we can see it. And that's what John wants to start with. If there is any light in the world, it is because God is that light. And he's not just the source of light. It's not just that it comes from him, and it's certainly not because God is doing something. It's because he actually is light. Now, again, there's something symbolic about it. So what John wants us to understand, that light here is connected to glory. It's connected to purity, to beauty, to that which is without sin, to righteousness. In himself, God is light. Now remember, truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and our fellowship is with the Father who is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So God cannot abide darkness. God, there is no sin in him. He cannot stand it. And that's why, on the one hand, we say when the light comes into the world and the light exposes everything, it's also true that the darkness flees in front of him. That's why Jesus came into the world of darkness as light. He reflected in his humanity, but also in his divinity, God, who is light. Beautiful, wonderful, purity. Light is good. Light is love. Light is life. Darkness. Darkness is where we often feel scared. Darkness is when we feel glum or down. When a man gets angry, we say his face darkens. And who can talk about the cold, the horror, the loneliness of the dark side of the moon? And in these two symbols of our world that we live in, we are called to be light. Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, here's what's interesting, and here's the beauty and sort of the mystery of Christianity. When Jesus Christ bursts into our reality, when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart of the elect, when God from before the foundation of the world chose you and showed you Christ, usually, normally, through the power of the preaching of the word, and you came to believe, then you received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we say that, my little children, I say these things, I write to you that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So propitiation, he took on the wrath of Almighty God. In other translations, it says atonement, which means that he is the reconciled one. Sometimes in catechism class, we take atonement, we write it on the board, and we make a slash, at one meant. I am apart from God because I am dark, and he's light. I'm apart from God because I'm a sinner, and he's pure. I have no way back to God. So he sends Jesus in our likeness to become as the darkness, to suffer in the darkness, to take the wrath of God, which comes to him in the darkness when he's hanging there on the cross, suffering, and the lights go out, and then all you can hear in the whole world is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we might never be forsaken. When we begin to understand that marvel, we have then been made righteous in his righteousness. So we confess that during his whole life, but especially at the end, Christ sustained in body and soul the anger of God against the darkness, the sin of the whole human race. And he did this by his suffering as the only atoning sacrifice, that he might set us free from the darkness. He might set us free to be light, body and soul, from eternal condemnation, and gain for us God's grace, eternal life, and righteousness. So there's two parts then here. And John is saying, you are righteous, and you are the light, and in you is that reflection of the righteousness of God. So when you look in a mirror and you see your reflection, you know that when you tap on the mirror, you can only hear the glass. It's not you in there. It's a reflection of you. And that's what happens now when we bear the image of God. When I look in the mirror, I see an image. When I see a photograph, I see an image. When I look at another Christian, and I hope that when you look at me, you begin to see Christ in us. The righteousness of Christ in us. We are righteous. And then now John is saying, but you also have to be involved in that righteousness, that there is an activity of light that we do. So we cannot now say that, well, I'm light, and I'm righteous, and I'm saved, and now I get to do everything that I want to do. And really what's going to happen is he's going to say, and that shows itself especially in a way that you love your brother. How do you treat other people? Because really, all the other sins are about that, right? And if you think about the darkness and walking in the darkness and the futility of the emptiness of our minds, Ephesians chapter 5, then the list of sins comes, and I'm easily angered with you. I'm envious of you. I don't like what you have. And I'm not talking now about the world. I'm talking about in here. I don't like it when so-and-so got accepted for university and I didn't. I don't like it when so-and-so got a boyfriend and I've been waiting the whole time. Why did she and not me? Why did so-and-so get to be an elder, but I'm never chosen? How come so-and-so got to have a new car? How come so-and-so got to have this? This is where it starts, and this darkness begins to fall over us. And if we don't watch it, that anger turns to bitterness, and then bitterness turns to all kinds of problems. Because you know what ultimately is happening is that in the darkness, I begin to desire that you don't live. You see, in the light, I'm filled with joy that you're my sister, that you're my brother. But in the darkness, I desire that you no longer exist. In the darkness, I believe that I am God, and I have the right to say who ought to be alive and who ought not to be alive. And so I can walk around and I can say that I'm a Christian, but if I'm a Christian that's constantly filled with bitterness and envy and jealousy and strife, yeah, maybe I'm not going to kill you, but I do wish that perhaps you weren't alive. You see, the problem when we fall into sin and we fell into that darkness is that we can't all be God. Because if I am God and you are God, then at some point we're going to bump into each other. At some point, you are going to bother me. That's a problem with Canada right now. Everybody wants to do what they want to do, and they want to do it no matter what. And you can't tell me I can't do it. And it really doesn't matter to me if it bothers you or if it makes your life more difficult, because it's about me. And yet all these people say, but I'm good, I'm honest. If you don't love yourself, how can you love other people? I'm just busy loving myself. And John is saying it's the exact opposite. If we have fellowship with God in Christ, we have the righteousness that comes in Christ. And so then, we say we walk in the light as Christ is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we're also a liar. When I walk into the light and the light of God exposes the darkness in me, I see it. That's why the commands come. That's why it says walk as children of light. It's not a suggestion. That's not, well, it might happen. It's do it. Do it because you now can. Do it because of who you now are. Do it because I have you in the world for precisely this. And I have you not in the world just simply to be an individual Christian, but as a group of Christians here in Scarborough so that other people can say, this is where the love of God is. This is where the light of God is. This is where people try to live a good life and they're honest. You know, one of the knocks that comes against some of our more mainline churches, and you know what, you're probably going to struggle with it here too, is that once we've been Christians for a while, and once we've been together for a while, we show our best side. We are not a confessing church. Certainly ministers don't walk up to you and say, well, I've been struggling with this sin, or I've been struggling with that sin, or this parishioner is really bothering me. And so you begin to think that we men up front are holy. The pastor's wife, she must be extra holy too. And then the children of the pastor, well, they have to be set up over here. And then we have the elders and their wives and their children. And then there's the deacons. And then the one who was just baptized, and on it goes. Right? So what happens is when people come from the darkness into this, which is to be the light, they're going, how can I ever be the light? Because these people actually have no sin in them. This is a place filled with hypocrites, because the one who's in front of you is one. Because I say, and I preach, and I know, and I don't do it. And that's what it means when it says, I say that I am light, but then I say that I have no sin, and it's not honest. It's not being in the truth. I need to tell you, and you need to tell me, and we need to tell one another, I had to ask Jesus for forgiveness, and he did. I have to ask Jesus to help me to be a forgiving person, and he does. I need Jesus to die on the cross for my sin, because in and of myself, I cannot ever be light. But in him, and in the change that comes from him, and in the righteousness I receive from him, now I have righteousness. Paul brings up the same thing. He writes this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret at night and dark. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. When light shines in us, our sins become exposed. We put them away. The light shines even brighter. Right now, we are dull reflectors. Over time, he purges us. He makes us more pure. The light becomes less refracted. And then in time, upon our death and upon our resurrection, we will bear that light purely and beautifully and wonderfully. And where does it start? With our walk with God, in our fellowship with one another, with our church family. So the question now is then, how do we live with the person who's driving us crazy? How do we live with that person who irritates us? How do we live with that person in the church that we can't stand it when they come and talk to us? How do we do it? In prayer, in fellowship with Christ, in recognizing him and seeing how he walked, always, always remembering that I am light because of what he does. That's a remarkable thing. That Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins. In fact, if you really think about it, he was so hated that they murdered him, didn't they? They made up lies about him. They couldn't stand him. They said that he was a liar, that he was a blasphemer of God, that he broke all the commandments. And he allowed himself, he subjected himself, God handed him over to these murderers for you and for me, that we might be the light of the world. And in him, we begin to see it. In him, by the Holy Spirit, we begin to walk and to love and to go further. If we reflect God's love, then there must be love for the brothers. And if there isn't, then let's be honest that we're struggling with it and confess it. And let us never be so arrogant that we would say, but oh, I'm saved and it's all good and it's going to be wonderful for me. We love because he first loved us. By this we know love, he writes in John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth. We shall assure our hearts before him. And then again, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater. There is forgiveness. Run to him. It's often people who do not know forgiveness who are the hardest on other people. And it's often people who don't feel like they need forgiveness who are often the hardest on other people. But people who know this love and this mercy and this kind of forgiveness, it changes everything. And it is the only way that we can reflect the love of God, by faith and in knowing him. Now, how are we to be that light? Well, he goes on and he says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you see, we have faith and truth and love and light and darkness and honesty, and all of these things come together. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. I'm not writing you a new command, for the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already here. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. If you hate your brother, you're in darkness. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're heading. See, the world is going to tell you that love is a reactionary emotion. And I used in the transcript that I handed out to you, which you can realize I'm not following that closely, but in there we talk about food. And there's food that you like, food that you love, and there's food that you hate. So we just had dinner, and we had a beautiful roast, and we had mashed potatoes. A. Perfect. I hate vegetables. My wife made cauliflower, my number one hated vegetable, and she made beans, which is probably my third or fourth hated vegetable. And my kids are looking, and why did you make that? You know Dad doesn't like it. Well, she said, I made beans because he hates those less than cauliflower, which is a loving thing to do, right? Now, you might love cauliflower. My family thinks it's awesome, but I don't like it. I don't like it because I don't like it. You can't tell me I have to like it. I remember when we would read that passage in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say rejoice. And I would go, how can you tell somebody to rejoice? It's like when my dad would say, you're going to eat your broccoli and you're going to like it. I'll eat it, but I'm not going to like it. All right? Now, we live in a world where we can actually discuss these things, right? Because my mother, who's grew up, and my father, in the war in Holland, had nothing to eat. So what they got was what they got. When they got an orange at Christmas, that was, like, amazing. And then here I am, picky. I'm picky because I can have what I want, and you can too. That's the one thing I'm learning about being in Toronto. Multiculturalism, I don't know about driving, but multiculturalism is awesome for restaurants. We can eat from every place in the world, and it's all interesting, and it's all good, and I like it. Because that's what consumers do, right? But that's not what I'm allowed to do with people. But the world says that's how I am to respond to you. If I like you, then I love you. If you're nice to me, then I'll be nice to you. But if you're not nice to me, you can't tell me I have to love you. And then God says, yes, you do. And especially in the church. It's not about your tastes. It's not about what you want or what you like to do. God chose to love me when I'm not lovable. And he asks me to do the same with all of you, and you to do the same thing with each other, including me. You know, a lot of marriages, and if the Lord willing I come next week, we're going to do the seventh commandment, and we talk about, you know, adultery and all these things. A lot of people say, well, I love my wife, now I don't love my wife, now I love that person. No. You don't know what love is then. Love is to hold the other person up. It is to say, as Christ died, so I will die for you. As we read there in 1 John 3, that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I will go out of my way to find out who you are. That doesn't mean I like everything about you and that you like everything about me, but we would give ourselves up for the good of the other. That's how you protect yourself from murder. That you make a choice to say, no matter what, I love them. That has huge meaning for marriage. That has huge meaning for your children, children with your parents. Huge meaning for us here in the church. You know, the one thing about church planning that's hard for us who don't do it, it's not just that people come in and find out about Jesus, but when you plant a church, you have to build a church fellowship as well. It's not just I came to love Jesus, but I came to love the people at New Horizon or at Covenant Reformed Church. And that if we would be together, we would say, I'm going to learn to love one another because you are my brothers and sisters. We have to keep the commandments of God. And it keeps coming back. Love God. And if you love me, says God, then you must love me with your whole heart. John writes about that. That in this, Christ's death, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also we ought to love one another. And what is love? Love is God coming to us in the Savior. Romans chapter 5, while we were yet enemies of the cross, Christ died for us. That's what love is. It's sacrifice. It's saying I am not God. It's a saying that I am least important. It is, Jesus says in Mark chapter 9, to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is to be the least of all, to be the servant of everyone. Then you see the light of Christ in one another. And then the world begins to see that as we interact with one another. Love and righteousness. Love and life. John brings that up when he speaks about Cain. And he speaks about a Cain who hated his brother, 1 John 3. For this is a message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Because Cain is darkness and Abel was light, and darkness can't stand the light. Do not marvel, my brother, if the world hates you. Jesus said that in John 14. We know that we have passed from death into light because we love the brothers. Don't be like Cain, who says, hey, Abel, let's go for a walk, and then kills him. He killed him because he hated him. He hated him because he was envious of him. He was envious of him because he couldn't see his own sin and couldn't see the goodness that was in Abel. And that's the string. And that's how it starts. That's why we are called to love one another. You think of King Saul, and he's made king over all of Israel. And then it's clear David is the anointed one, but he hates David. He's envious of David. He can't stand David. He continually tries to get rid of David. I'm going to kill David. And then at the end of his life, King Saul, in all of his darkness, cannot stand the fact that someone else is going to kill him, and he takes his own life. Because that's all you have in the hopelessness of the darkness. And then David himself, he sees Bathsheba. Do you think that he loved Bathsheba, his sister? Some people say, oh, he loved her. He didn't love her. He lusted for her. He certainly didn't love her husband. Now Uriah becomes a problem. Now I need to get rid of Uriah. And so he sends him to the front and has him killed. And Joab says, well, look, this is what happened. Don't be angry with me. David says, well, I guess it's what had to happen. And then he takes her in and they have a child. And the child dies. And you realize then, these are just the Bible examples. But these are examples of what happened in the covenant community. And this is what can happen in the church. When the darkness gets a hold of us, it rips the church apart. It's the quickest way for the devil to get in. That's why, remember that John is writing to churches that are a lot like you. They're just formed. They're just started. There's a lot of new converts, and they're coming out of the Greek world, and they're coming out of the Jewish world, and they're coming out of the Roman world. And all they've learned is what most of you came from. I know that's where I came from before I got saved, was my desire for me. And you know, by extension, just by way of illustration, that's why Canada's not working. Identity politics is killing us. I'm a liberal. I can't stand you because you're a conservative. I'm a conservative. I can't stand you because you're a liberal. Now we have 15 kind of genders, and you all have to put up with it, and I can take you to court if you don't call me by the right pronoun. This is what marriage is. This is how I identify. This is who I am. It's my body. If I want to kill the child, you can't say anything about it, because love means you have to put up with me. And we're just finding out that love means saying no. Don't walk around in the darkness anymore. I used to be there and there's no hope. I used to be like David, and I used to be like Saul, and I used to be like Cain, and I used to be like you, and I still am a little bit like you, and I want to change. But in Christ there is joy and hope beyond anything I've ever seen, and we become the community of hope and of life and the cherishing of life and the respect and the honoring of life. We love one another that our joy may be full. And we know it because we've experienced the wonder of the blood and the salvation that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Yes, I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Do you understand that? As I look at you, the people of God, the light is shining. That means the darkness is being pushed away as the church goes into all the world. And that's why, beloved, we are called and reminded that we should not murder. Is it enough then that we don't murder? Most of you, probably all of you, have never murdered anybody. But this is why the Catechism says, by condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be patient, to be peace-loving, gentle, merciful, friendly toward them, to protect them from harm, and do as much as we can to do good even to our enemies. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God and you know the love of God, it has to be and it will be that we will walk around like so many moons reflecting the light of God, the image bearer of God reflecting his righteousness. And that is part of his power in the world. Let us love. Let us go forward as light. And let us bring praise and honor and truth to the name of our God and our Savior. Amen. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We worship and we adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Make your name holy by causing us to be a people of love and kindness. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Chase all the darkness away. Help our unbelief. Let us love in new and precious ways. And so, Father in heaven, as we go forward into the week ahead, we pray that you would bless us and make us strong in you. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Watch over us, Heavenly Father, great shepherd of the sheep, who gave his Son as a lamb that we might be truly the holy and saved children of God. Amen.